CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. We are live. It is Wednesday and chilly. It's cold, like you say, cold as a witch's titty. That's what it is. All right, so we're joined this morning by Damon Calvary, by Sia Sangweni, by Mbulelo Tinta, and by you, which is the most important part of this whole exercise, because if we didn't wake up and have someone to do the show for, it would be the most boring show ever. It would be pointless. It would be total waste of time. Damon, you can unmute your microphone when you want it. Let me hear if your dogs are still going crazy.
Oh, I didn't know it was muted. Oh.
I muted you because you were talking incessantly while I needed to start the show. Whoopsie.
The thing is, I'm wondering what's actually wrong with Gord. What's apparently he's sick, but like, what's actually wrong? Has he got the COVID-19 maybe?
I think it's just Gord sickness.
You know, Gord complains like he thinks waking up is a major arduous chore. He's just unused to that. His whole life long, he's woken up when he wanted to. And then we try to impose this thing on him once a week where he joins us for the show. And I think it's just too much for him to bear.
Well, what struck me is, how can you know the night before that you're too sick to do something the next morning unless you got the COVID-19?
Well, yeah, maybe he has the COVID-19. He was one of those people who was very afraid in the beginning, you know, unlike you, he was very afraid. He self-isolated right at the start, like a week or two before everyone else. And
because I'm becoming more and more scared.
Are you?
I'm oscillating up and down. Like one day I'm feeling fine, but then I realize that I look at all the factors that I've got high blood pressure, I've got borderline diabetes. So if I get the COVID-19, you know, this could be the last time you hear me. Who knows?
No, don't say that.
No, think about it. And then when the government goes from level 4 to level 3, doesn't make me feel any better.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. And these levels are so stupid.
Well, the thing is that what really struck me this morning when I woke up was you can go to a synagogue or a church or a mosque, but you can't go to a restaurant.
Yeah. And the one is actually safer than the other, because in the one you've got demarcated areas with tables and you know, you can even cordon off certain areas. I mean, they're wearing these ridiculous hats in Britain and in other parts.
No,
sorry,
what,
in, I think it's in France.
What President Ramaphosa and his committee, they haven't realized that people with eating disorders, a restaurant is like a place of worship.
Yeah, well, this is why I think – so we've all got to be clever about this now, and everybody must just declare their business a church. First of all, you get the tax benefit of not having to pay tax. And second of all, you can do level 3. So if you're a gym and you're a restaurant, you just change yourself to a church. Church of fitness, church of eating.
Oh, you're starting something now.
Yeah, we do not have to be kowtowing to these dumb rules and regulations. And they are dumb. Let's make no bones about it. I didn't even know the president was addressing us last night. I found out when I went on to social media and it was already done.
It was very last minute-ish.
Yeah.
I saw it about 6 p.m. that he was going to pray with us at 7:30. But the social media said that he was just going to pray with us. Didn't realize he'd actually give a talk.
Well, I think from today, CliffCentral.com is now a religious institution. Welcome, brethren. You are no longer just listeners or subscribers or fans of what we do. You are now congregants. Okay.
So, amen.
Yeah, so we can get together.
And you're like Lord Vader or Lord Gareth?
I'm not going to give myself a title, but we can gather in numbers of 49 or less.
Uh-huh.
And of course you can listen on the internet if there are more than 49, which is the whole reason we did this. It was really to establish a church. Finally, my big dream is coming true.
What is this morning's scripture?
This morning, the scripture is the foibles of Damon Calvary, as told by the author. Now, Damon, when we crossed to you this morning, your dogs were going crazy. You've got the schnauzers.
And they got this high-pitched bark.
It's very irritating. What the hell's going on there?
Well, first of all,
they've shut up for the show. That's good news.
They give a good 5-minute burst. So what happens is when the Central Committee, the High Command, and President Ramaphosa said, when they implemented level 4, they said we could exercise, walk our dogs between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m.
Right.
So it's still, we're in Johannesburg. It's still dark and cold at 6 a.m., but
it's freezing. No one should be walking at this time of the morning. It's terrible.
Well, the people in my neighborhood, I feel sorry for their dogs. They feel that they take the 6 a.m. pretty seriously, so they decide that they need to actually get out and walk their dogs or walk themselves at 6 a.m. So then from 6 a.m., I have people walking past my house, and my miniature schnauzers are, they have very sensitive hearing, and they just go mad. They start barking and going crazy. And I think, but I'm reading between the lines, they're saying, thank you, Daddy, for not taking us out in this weather.
In this freezing cold, yeah.
They're thinking, what a wise father.
That's what they're saying to you.
That's what they're saying. But I read between the box.
Now, how's the schooling going? Because you've got Alexa. She's what, grade 2?
Sure. It's not. If you're running a business from home and you're both working, I don't know. And then some people have 3, 4 children. I don't know how they.
I got two friends. They've got 3 boys who are spaced out 2 years apart. And you first of all have to know that the syllabus of 3 different grades, and it's not easy work, man. It's hard. It's complicated. I don't know how they do it.
Well, just from a logistical point of view, from keeping track of what's going on, what we have done, what we haven't done. It's an arduous task, and I'm in the perfume factory, so it's not in the house. It's in a cottage. So from 2 days ago, my wife, Bernie, she took over the job because it wasn't happening. And she's filed it. We got files. I mean, this is grade 2. We've got lever arch files. We got this and we,
Oh, wow.
And we are so far behind there. We haven't done about, almost half all the homework and assignments you're supposed to do, we haven't done. Now it's really quite stressful.
And the perfume factory, how's that going?
Well, cautiously optimistic, but it's looking good. You know what it is? I just worked this out.
Yeah.
I thought that when restrictions would be lifted, that people wouldn't have money, we wouldn't have any customers. But then there's a, you can call it retail therapy, or even if people have this pent up demand. So people want to just spend money, even if they don't have money, or even if they don't have enough money. And there's still people who want to spend money on perfumes. So that's good.
I hope it lasts. That's terrific.
Well, I'm never
going to a retail store again. I'm going to buy my stuff from you because I think everybody is also looking at ways to save money. So where you may be picking up some business is those people who would have maybe bought from an Edgar's before that doesn't exist anymore.
Perhaps.
They're going to come to the Kalvari Fragrance Garden.
But, you know, I can only speak very basically. And
Kalvari Fragrance Garden.
Yes.
And that is what it's called, right? What is it?
You were close. Fragrance Garden Collection.
That one.
Yes.
Close enough. I think all things that people use for creature comfort will become more and more important.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah,
anything that makes you feel good in these times. You know, I know just coming from my place, my sisters and my mother were prioritizing things like makeup just to at least, you know, put yourself together and feel like, okay, I'm still okay here.
Yeah, it's important.
So I think cologne and perfume will still be important. No, these small things that are actually big things and the great things.
When restaurants eventually do open, you know, logically you think, oh, people won't have money to go eat out, but people will find money because it's a
way to treat yourself.
It's a way. Oh, there you go. Treat yourself.
Well, this came up yesterday. Yes. I thought this was quite interesting. It came up in our little webinar that we had. We had Reg Lascaris and Timothy Maurice talking about the future of marketing and the way people behave during a crisis like this. And this was very much their takeaway, is that, and what certainly what I took out of it, is that people will want to treat themselves, and it doesn't mean the end of business. It just means that people will be much more cautious about where they spend, but when they find something they want to buy, they're going to occasionally splurge out, which is sort of what Sia's saying as well. It's interesting stuff. So I put out a little thing yesterday, which someone sent me, which is about the two kinds of people during lockdown. Okay. And here's the first kind of person, and you decide whether this describes you. And then there's the second kind of person. Obviously, it's not a finite list, and it isn't necessarily 100% true for everybody. But this is more or less the two kinds of people that you get in the world now. Okay?
Okay.
And this is based on what Damon said earlier. So the first kind of person is a feeling kind of person. They feel. They make a lot of their decisions based on how they feel. Okay? And those people are probably feeling fearful. They're also trusting the authorities and the experts to help them make decisions. They're following the rules because they think that'll keep them safe. They're willing to be told what to do to a certain degree. So they're probably staying indoors. They're probably complying with all the regulations. They're not going out after the curfew and that sort of thing. They're following the rules, right? They're willing to be told what to do. They're also guided by their sentiments. So if they feel that the president is genuinely and sincerely trying to save lives, that sentiment is what guides them, not the actual letter of the law or the articulated position or how much sense it makes. Okay. They also want the government to take responsibility for this crisis and to make rules and to make regulations and to do whatever they can as government to make sure people are safe. Right? They also believe the news. They believe that the news is there. It's an objective medium that is trying its best to present to us as many of the facts as they can get their hands on.
That's the funniest one.
I know. They also think COVID is probably a little bit worse than they're hearing. In other words, that more people may die and that the worst is still to come. They also think that we will return to normal one day when there's a vaccine, but before then, it's going to be patchy. And these people,
but that's kind of like makes sense.
Well, we'll get to the other people in a second. They also think that lockdown was a good idea and that it's probably flattened the curve and saved lives. And these people are willing to risk their economic security for their health. Okay, those are the first kind of person, more or less.
Okay.
I thought those are all different people.
No, that's one kind of person. They tick most of those boxes. You may have one or two that you don't tick, but that's more or less the kind of person you are, right? Then on the opposite side, you've got the second kind of person. These people are not feeling, they're thinking. They prefer to be presented with facts and explanations.
Ah, conspiracy theorists.
Well, perhaps. Yeah, there might even be those people, but they're thinking. In other words, they don't just take things on, it makes me feel better that governments are doing something. They want to know what governments are doing and whether it's actually working. They are more rational than fearful. In other words, they're prepared to believe what they're presented with if there are good enough facts to back it up. The third thing about these people is that they're suspicious of the authorities and the experts. They think that most of these governments in the world that are doing all the things that they're doing are just doing it because it's an exercise in power and control. They also don't believe in following the rules. They believe in breaking the rules when the rules don't make sense. They're also people who don't like to be told what to do. They like to think for themselves and make their own responsible decisions. They are not guided by sentiment like the group I just discussed before. These people are guided by facts, and they will find the facts that sometimes comply with their own preordained position, but they will also respond to new information. And if, for example, they discover that this thing isn't as infectious as people say it is, then they will not be as frightened of it as the people who are guided by sentiment. They also prefer to not have the government take responsibility for them. They prefer to take responsibility for themselves. They don't trust the news because they think the news is a business, which it is, and that they're probably just into alarmism. They think that COVID isn't as bad as everybody says it is. They're already returning to normal, unlike the others who are waiting for a vaccine. These people are like, let me open my business. Let me go to work. Let me send my kids to school. They think lockdown was a bad idea, and they're willing to risk their health for their economic survival. Those are the two kinds of people you get. And you will see arguments between those two groups of people all over social media. And if you can figure out which group someone belongs to and whether or not you're in the opposite group, you'll see why you disagree with them. Because more or less, those are the categories of disagreement.
Who put that together?
I saw it online, and I thought I'd share it. So I put it on based on something that I read that I thought sort of resonated.
I think the healthiest thing is it's not healthy to be that one person or that second person. If you are an individual that oscillates and has the attributes of both those different kind of people, I think that's more healthy.
Right.
It's not healthy to be dogmatic either way. I think you should be continually thinking and changing your viewpoints.
It's also not honest to say you're not both. I completely disagree with that, trying to draw such a clear dichotomy, but it's not honest to say you're not both. An element of both. It just isn't.
Well,
You're going to be more one than the other.
Well,
I mean, I can tell you
right now that I have been 90% the second type of person throughout, from the very beginning of lockdown. In fact,
I read your letter.
Even before that, I've been one of those people who's been suspicious of the authorities. I don't trust the news. I make my own decisions. I don't want to be told what to do.
Yeah, you're definitely a 90 percenter, maybe even a 95 percenter on the second person.
Yeah.
But you know, you should try push towards, you know, 70%, 65. That could be more healthy. That's my viewpoint.
Gareth, this might be leading us down a very different path. But when you say you don't trust the news, or sometimes you're suspicious of the government, do you think their intention is malicious?
No, not in the case of the ANC, but I think that there are probably some bad people who have malicious intent. But as I've said before on the show, never attribute to malice what can be explained by incompetence.
Break that down a bit, please.
Say that again, please. That sounded good.
Never,
say that again.
Never attribute to malice what can be explained by incompetence. In other words, the decisions that people in the ANC have made, people in our government have made, are more often than not as a result of stupidity and bumbling and fumbling.
Or ego.
Not even, Damon. It doesn't come from a place of control and sense. It's sometimes just rolling in a direction that feels the most comfortable to them.
Well,
I don't think that they've gone out. I don't think someone like Nkosazana Zuma sits there every day and plots against the people of South Africa. I think what she's doing is the best that she thinks she can do.
Aha, okay.
She's honest. You know, there's no such thing as an evil person, okay? There are people who do evil and there are people who do good. But the evil person doesn't think they're evil. Like, you know, Himmler and Goebbels and Hitler didn't think they were evil people. They thought they were doing something great for their people, for their nation, right? The same goes for Bolsonaro in Brazil at the moment, who's just lost his temper. And he's basically shitting on all the local authorities because they're harassing the people. And he says that the people should be allowed to bear arms because then they can fight tyrannical governments. It's an interesting position for someone in Brazil to take, a country that has been brutalized by governments over the last 100 years. But there are no people who sit there and go, I'm going to do the evil thing now.
Okay.
Well, I think ego comes in a lot, especially with President Donald Trump. There will be often instances where it's ego-driven, taking himself too seriously. Like if he just makes an honest mistake, like he'll say that Apple guy, the Apple chairman, he called him Tim Apple.
Yeah.
Now that's a classic example. Just laugh it off and admit, I made a mistake. But he can't even do that. And that's pure ego.
Okay, but we know with Trump that ego is the main driving force. But remember that ego has been the main driving force between in all of history, throughout almost every person you can study. And, you know, we've done the series on history. Ego is probably the reason that so many of those people are successful. So we don't like ego in interpersonal relationships. It gets in the way. It makes people dishonest. It makes them self-centered. It makes them horrible to be around. but it is also the single most powerful force for galvanizing an individual into action. And every single great leader in history has had a certain amount of ego.
Now take Zana Dlamini Zuma with the tobacco and the alcohol. She's always been very anti those two things, tobacco and alcohol. Is it not also like an ego thing? She wants to prove, she wants to push her hobby horse?
It is her hobby horse. And this is why when people say to me, oh no, she's definitely acting in malice. I don't think so. I think she's got a big issue with smoking, and that's what she's doing. She's just saying what she's taking every chance she can to destroy smoking in people. She believes smoking is an evil that she, again, this is ego, that she is going to help you conquer. She's going to make you quit. She genuinely thinks smoking is a bad thing, and it is. And she's going to help you fix that. That's her. So it comes from a good place if you look at it from her point of view. But it's driving people mad.
Oh, we don't want to go down this route too much. I mean, ego has obviously been placed in our conscience through the Judeo-Christian piety lens instead of more of a Freudian lens. So we should always be careful that
Freud was the first one to coin the term ego.
Yeah, but we don't live through a lens of psychology. We live through a lens of religion,
yes,
which has deemed ego terrible.
And ego has become a synonym for selfish.
Exactly.
Self-absorbed.
So we must be careful to confuse the two. Anyway.
No, good point. That's a very good point, because people think that ego is the opposite of virtuous.
Correct. You know? Which is, anyway.
Whereas if you don't have an ego, you're probably sitting at home doing nothing for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So you need to have a little bit of ego.
We've touched now on religion. So going back to this whole thing with this obsession and this how religion plays such a huge, huge role in our lives in South Africa, generally speaking, with the South African populace, opening up places of worship and not opening up restaurants, it doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't it
go back to this whole role that religion is such a
I don't want religion to get the blame in this, because people do need religion in their lives, and who the hell are you, me, or Cyril Ramaphosa to tell people they can't gather and pray together? There is no sense in this rule. So because you see what's happened again is government is not malicious, they're just ignorant. So when you get enough religious lobbyists who push people around in government, then government is like, oh shit, we've got to react. Now, if we had a restaurant lobby, and the problem is that restaurants are owned by usually a family or a small businessman or woman, even the chains are usually managed by, some small individual entrepreneur. They don't get together in a big association or a trade union.
Well, they do have one. It's just not as strong as the tobacco lobby.
It's nowhere near.
And I mean the...
No, the tobacco lobby couldn't even get them to change their
sorry,
mind.
Sorry, I meant to say the religious lobby.
But you see, government also has a bunch of very religious people in it. And therefore, they're more susceptible to messages from that lobby. I mean, this is easy to understand. What's happened is that the churches got together. We've got the South African National Council of Churches, who always been very supportive of politicians. In fact, during election time, politicians use the churches to get votes, and the churches use the politicians to get favor. And that's what's happened here. So I'm not going to blame religious people. I will say that the religious lobby is very strong in this country. And what's happened is Cyril was sitting in his office, twiddling his thumbs, going, oh, fuck, I don't know what to do next, because that's exactly what he's doing. Don't believe he's got a plan. There's no way out of this. I mean, he thinks if we just ease restrictions and we go slowly, we take it one step at a time, that he's going to save lives. The reality is those people who are going to get COVID are still going to get COVID. Those people who are not. And all that we're doing is delaying the time that is required for them to get it.
Well, Gareth, in all fairness, it is our first pandemic.
No, you know? We had AIDS, actually. And AIDS has taken out a couple of million South Africans, so I think that's deeply insensitive.
Damon, it's much more. AIDS is a lot less contagious. You actually have to strip it in.
Damon,
you have to get a blood transfusion.
Damon, just listen to what I've said. Forget about contagion for a second. Millions of South Africans have died from AIDS already. Okay, before we had rolled out AZT, this is the reason that Thabo Mbeki, among other reasons, lost his bid to carry on being president of the ANC. It's no small thing. That was a pandemic. It still continues to plague so many families. There are child-headed households in South Africa. The social effects of AIDS continue to be with us on a daily basis.
Yeah, I think what Damon meant,
don't be glib about it.
We closed the world down for this one. We didn't close the world for AIDS. I think that's what he meant.
I know, and I agree with him, and that's precisely why this is stupid.
Look, my ears prick up strictly with the religion thing is, in a modern day sense, government and church have to be separated, or we've seen where Africa's gone. And that's a huge part of the problem. South America suffers from that. It's a massive part of the problem.
Yes, but forget about it. It's never going to happen.
Great.
Yeah, it's so already thickly woven together.
They are thick as thieves.
They are. Well,
religion.
Well, President Ramaphosa has actually, he's said it clearly and openly when he says that he's been consulting with various people. I've been consulting with business people. And then he actually said, I've been consulting with religious leaders.
Yes,
and he's been saying that he's been consulting with religious leaders since the beginning of this whole drama.
Right.
And I think to myself, why on earth are religious leaders epidemiologists? Are they scientists? Are they this? Are
well,
they, come on.
Damon, in the lives, crazy. In the lives of your average South African, religious leaders are more important than doctors. They really are.
They even have a national day of prayer on Sunday.
Correct.
Oh, yes.
So it may be stupid to you and Bulelo and other people, but to a religious person, not going to church has been a major gap in their lives for the last 8-9 weeks. Major gap.
Well, there was a soundbite, a piece of audio that was sent among the Jewish community. There was a guy announcing that all synagogues had closed down. When he started talking, I didn't know what the message was about. But as he was talking, I thought, oh my God, something terrible has happened. People have died. He was in tears. You would have thought that his family had been wiped out, and you would have thought it was the end of the world. The announcement was to say that synagogues have been closed for now, and Baruch Hashem, God willing, one day we will be able to pray again together. But the emotion in his voice, this man was in pieces. This man needed to be medicated.
Now,
I'm not exaggerating.
You know how many old people we have in rural places who the only outing they have outside, I mean, we're not talking about during lockdown, we're talking about normally, the only time they leave the house is to go to church on a Sunday, and they spend the whole day there. Old people. I mean, let me tell you something. This is their lives. There are old ladies in this country who have lost their husbands, whose children don't live with them, who wake up every day and have this horrible subsistence life, and then on Sunday is the day they live because they get to go and be with their friends, they get to worship, they get to pray, they get to sing. It's the only thing that gives them meaning. We can't mock that.
And then, Gareth, take it just to more the average person. And we've been discussing over the past couple of weeks how to, you know, be inspired in a time like this, how to keep going, how to keep focused. You know, you can be a self-starter and do things at home. Most people, that is what draws them to religion, the fact that they can pray and the fact that they can put all their faith in God and, you know, everything will work out if I abide by these rules. So
that's their guidance. I mean, it's their roadmap to living.
Something like this.
So for them, this is a major thing. But here's the stupidity of government again. So don't attribute to malice what can be explained by ignorance. Government go, okay, well, we've got to bend the knee to the churches here, if you'll pardon the pun. Let's open up the religions, and then people won't be so tense, and we'll give people what the lobbies have been asking us to do. But they don't realize that from a scientific, factual, head-over-heart point of view, you're still putting people, even if it's 49 of them, in a room together. And therefore, there's no point in any of that dumb restrictions. I mean, you can go to a supermarket now. You could have up to 50 people in there. And they've been around since level 5. And in level 5, we didn't have to wear masks. So they're walking around in level 5. They're breathing germs on everything. They're touching everything. They're feeling whether the avos are soft and whether the lettuce is nice. And now suddenly we put level 3, so we've got to put on masks, which is so stupid because after level 5, where it's at the most contagious, supposedly, and there are more people being infected, Then we're not wearing masks. Now suddenly we're allowed to go to church, but we're not allowed to go to a restaurant. Or we can go to the liquor store from Monday, but we can't go to the gym. It's dumb. It's all dumb. And this is where people look at this and they go, clearly these guys are just, they're making up rules as they go along. They don't know what to do. And if you believe that government at this point have your interests at heart, and if you believe that government right now are making rules based on the facts, and they're thinking it through, and they're looking at contagion, and they're looking at spread of disease, and flattening the curve, you're an idiot. I'm terribly sorry, but all of these rules seem dumb and capricious, because some of them make perfect sense, and others make no sense at all. And you can't have both kinds. Otherwise, there's no way you contain this virus. Sorry. So just to go to Scott, he's made a comment on the WhatsApp line, and you can get hold of us on 0797482090. Scott says, that whole feeling versus thinking, introvert versus extrovert, is a Myers-Briggs, which is common in corporate world today. It also does a similar analysis of personality types. It's ultimately derived from Carl Jung. Yes, correct, Scott. But I don't know who put that list together, but I think it's fairly useful as a guide to see what sort of arguments you might get into with people online about the virus and the lockdown and all the rest of it. And then, I don't know if you know this, this is quite an interesting story. And again, I can't verify this, but I've no reason to disbelieve Andrew. Andrew says, I'm not sure if you've heard that South Africa is running low on diesel. Firstly, diesel demand through this lockdown has been more or less stable. Once the mines opened and hasn't suddenly spiked to the point that demand exceeded supply. The problem is that since the airports are not fully functional, the planes have not been burning jet A1 fuel and all their storage is full. For that reason, there is no way that the refinery can be functional when the storage of at least one product is full. So Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma better make a smart decision quickly or we're going to run out of diesel.
Hang on. Please explain the process. What is the production of diesel got to do with aeroplanes? Aeroplanes produce diesel.
I don't know. No. Aeroplanes use avgas, jet A1 fuel, right? Which is all these fuels, petrol, diesel, kerosene, naphthalene, all of them are made by fractional distillation. It's a process by which we get all of these hydrocarbons.
Okay.
In other words, they're made by the same places.
Okay.
Processing plants. Now, they make tar at the very bottom, and they make these paraffin oils and the rest at the very top. And in between are petrol, diesel, and all the other different kinds of hydrocarbons. So if we have no planes running at the moment, then storage for the usual amount of jet fuel is full. So according to Andrew...
Storage.
Yeah, so according to Andrew, there is no way any refinery could be functional when the storage of at least one of those products along that chain of fractional distillation is already at a maximum. Now, I don't know about
he's probably, just theorizing.
Well, no, he might be in that industry. That's why I'm saying we take his word for it. I don't know. I haven't read anything about diesel shortages, but don't expect our non-investigative media to look at this. I mean, they're too busy reporting on Miss South Africa contestants and their tweets from 4 years ago.
Very important.
Hey, she forgave herself.
Oh,
she forgave herself.
And yeah. She found Jesus.
Who cares what she thinks? This girl is completely unimportant. She would have been unimportant to us before Twitter had come along, so let's not pretend she matters now. Here's a nice compliment for us on yesterday's webinar. Thank you, Basitsana. She said, thank you for the webinar. It was terrifically informative. Looking forward to the next one. Yeah. I'm keen to get stuck into these as well. That was really interesting. And if you didn't watch it, you can get the whole thing on cliffcentral.com. Let's get to some headlines. Yes, Damon. What do you want?
To ask a question. What is the difference between a webinar and what we're doing now?
Well, what we're doing now isn't a webinar. It's a show. We've been doing these in radio and in television for hundreds of years. Webinars are new things. It's a seminar that goes online. And a seminar is usually presented. We don't just present a show. We also... You know, we talk to audience, we get guests in, we get all kinds of the shows.
And isn't there any structure?
Yeah, webinars.
Okay, so webinars an actual on a topic.
Yeah, correct. And we don't have any idea what topics we're going to get into every morning.
Well, exactly.
All right, so here are some stories in the news that you need to know about. First of all, SAA are – SAA, I mean – really?
Can you believe this?
SAA are aiming to resume domestic flights from mid-June. I don't know – They say that regional and international flights will be cancelled until the end of the month, but they're working to ensure the resumption of local routes. For the first time in over 2 months, SAA expects to resume operations. The airline said that for now there was no need for ticket holders to contact them. Because of the outbreak, the airline, like many across the world, has been brought to a standstill. SAA said that it would update passengers as it gradually restarted most of its services. Now, really, if you're going to fly with SAA and they go out of business, which they probably will at some point in the next couple of months because governments won't bail them out every time, then you deserve to lose out on your ticket. Don't buy a ticket from SAA. I wouldn't support these guys.
I'm so confused because I'm only allowed to leave my house to go shopping or to go for a walk between 6 and 9 a.m. How can I get onto a plane and fly around?
Well,
level
3, there's no curfew.
Is there no? Yes,
but sorry.
Oh, well, the thing is, yesterday, William Kizer said that some areas will stay on level 4, so it's confusing.
This is what they're doing is they're saying they can, like George Carlin, the comedian, says, they can fuck with you anytime they want. That's what they're telling you.
So the last the president mentioned around this was in his last national address, where he stated that he predicts that the domestic travel or domestic airlines will open up for people who are traveling for the purpose of work first. So he didn't make mention of any sort of recreational travel, but, you know, also the definitions of work and those parameters.
So you just lie. You just say to him you're going for work. I mean, do these people think, these government officials, do they really think that they can hear what's going on inside of our heads? Like, I jokingly said at the beginning of the show, we'll call this a church and then we can get together anytime we want now because of level 3.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
humans are much cleverer than their governments. Governments are slow, lumbering, dumb creatures. And if you trust them, you're an idiot. You really are. And if Zweliem Kiese says, oh, well, you can travel between provinces, but only for work, then everybody's just going to say, well, I'm going for work. But they could be visiting their grandma. They could be going to the sea. They could be staying with a family friend. How's he going to know? What, is he going to follow you? He's going to deploy 3 SANDF members to follow you to your destination to make sure you weren't lying to him? Dummies.
What are you going to check in with a surfboard under your arm? You say you're a professional surfer.
Yeah, well, that's your work, yeah.
Good point.
Right.
I'm Sean Thompson.
You can get away with anything.
No, I'm not retired. I'm still professional, sir.
All right, so here's another story. 2 Zimbabwean journalists who were arrested last week as they were investigating the abduction of 3 opposition members of parliament have been released on bail.
Oy.
Zimbabwe's still such a disaster. I mean, really.
Oy.
These two were working for an online news outlet and have been held on grounds that they'd breached the anti-coronavirus social distancing rules. Again, governments in the world taking advantage of a crisis to get rid of people who are inconvenient, put them in jail. So apparently, the magistrate granted them $500, which is like $20 bail. That's the bail. $20 to get out of jail.
Which is the equivalent... and they're dealing in dollars now in Zimbabwe, huh?
Mm-hmm. So
okay.
They were ordered not to interfere with witnesses or to continue to reside at the addresses that they gave police until the matter comes to an end.
Where must they reside then?
But what witnesses are they going to mess with? They were investigating the abduction of 3 members of the opposition, which is a big story. That's what journalists are there to do. I was just saying, we don't have any investigative journalists. These guys were doing what journalists should do. They were arrested on some nonsense made-up coronavirus breach law. It's madness. You can't take Zimbabwe seriously. There's nothing about the Zimbabwean government that is worth taking seriously. They're morons. Okay, here's a story. Do you like Donald Trump, Damon?
Well, he's very entertaining. I'll give him that.
Well, a U.S. attorney in Texas who was appointed by Donald Trump announced his resignation on Tuesday, providing no explanation. So obviously people are saying, well, there must be a scandal. He has served as United States Attorney for Eastern Texas since 2018. The statement does not give a reason, for his resignation. And Walmart is apparently part of it because Brown's resignation comes 2 months after ProPublica reported that his office spent years pursuing a criminal case against Walmart for its opioid prescription practices, only to have it stymied after the giant retailer's lawyers appealed to senior officials at the Department of Justice. So there could be some, again, lobbying from Walmart that may be interfering in this. But it sounds to me like I love how this ultimately leads to Donald Trump, but he's got nothing to do with this.
Nothing at all, except that he appointed the guy.
You see how the media, and this is an ABC story, you see how the media make it all about Trump even when it isn't? They're obsessed.
But they didn't say anything about Trump so far.
That's exactly the point. But he's in the headline. Trump appointed a first word in the headline.
Oh, Trump appointed.
Yeah, which is madness. It's got nothing to do with him. And then this is a terrible story. A Tennessee couple is facing charges after skeletal remains of a child were found buried in their yard.
Oh, dear.
Michael Anthony Gray, who's 63, and his wife Shirley, 60, were arrested on Monday. And they are charged with aggravated child abuse, especially aggravated kidnapping, child neglect, and the abuse of a corpse. I mean, murder would kind of be the thing you'd go for there, right? But those are the charges. Someone found one of the Gray's children walking alone along a road near their home once. The girl's remains were found on Saturday. Officials don't know how she died. An autopsy is planned. Three children were removed from their custody by the State Department of Children's Services. They are not the couple's biological children, but they had legal custody of them. So that sounds like a horrible story.
Well, it sounds like somebody dropped the ball there, because did nobody notice a missing child?
Well, you'd think, right?
Good golly.
Although it is, what did you say, Tennessee?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I know you love Afghanistan, everybody, so here's a story from Afghanistan. A lot of people have been complaining that since the war ended in Afghanistan, we haven't really covered them very much, but here we are, an Afghanistan story. Afghan authorities plan to release 900 Taliban prisoners as calls grow for the militants to extend a ceasefire on the third and final day. The pause in fighting, which came into effect on Sunday to mark Eid, was for the most part holding across the country. The government announced plans to release 2,000 insurgent prisoners in response to the Taliban's three-day ceasefire offer. Now they're going to release another 900 more. Isn't that nice? How marvelous.
It's very, very confusing.
Yeah. And they're just doing this because they want the Taliban to keep the ceasefire going. I mean, you imagine living in a country with people just shooting at each other the whole bloody time.
Well, blowing things up all the time.
What do you mean we do?
We do live in a country where people are shooting each other pretty often.
No, don't you know that the death rate in South Africa is down during COVID?
It's because of the smoking. People aren't smoking.
Yeah, maybe.
Wait, Mbulel,
link those, but go ahead, try.
No, I don't know. Isn't that something that they say at this stage?
Mbulela, do you ordinarily have to carry a bulletproof vest with you when you also carry your wallet and your keys as you leave the house?
No, I live in suburbia. 80% of this country does not.
What?
Oh, we live in a violent country. Like, is this news to everyone?
No.
What do you mean, Mbulela? Are you saying there's crime?
Crimes out there, Ike.
I
want to get back to the gym, Gareth.
Not at the same level as living in Afghanistan, surely.
Yeah, I mean, you see, this is Mbulelo's problem, is he's linking unlinked things.
Sure.
Okay.
Go and call your friend Danny Kaye and Kabilu. SMS shot.
Shot.
To 3.
Ay. All right, we're really piling on to Mbulelo first thing in the morning. All right, so those are the headlines you need to know. Damon, you wanted to shave your head, but Bernice doesn't want you to.
No, you know what? You know, I hate things getting complicated. I want to just take my razor, put it on level 5.
Yeah.
Not, you know, that's level 5 is a good level from a shaver point of view, not from a
coronavirus.
Not from a lockdown. Yeah, exactly. So I was going to just do a neat shave, because you don't have to worry about shape and style, and you don't need any skills.
Mm.
And why can't I just do that? But no, Bernice sees this as an opportunity to unleash her, well, to unleash her creative energies. Yeah. And now she wants to cut my hair. The thing is, it's an insult to hairdressers or barbers. People go to hairdressing college. They study. Yes. They do internships, for crying in a bucket.
Yes, they learn to do it properly. You can't just put a pot on someone's head and cut around the edge.
Exactly. And that's what upsets me, is that you can't just – people have various professions that you can't just think that you can also do. It's crazy. Anyway.
So you'd rather just shave.
Well, I'm toying with the idea, because at the moment my hair is just shocking. Mm. Shocking. I look like a refugee from Woodstock, honestly.
Oh, wow.
Terrible. I don't know. I should have cut my hair before the lockdown. I didn't know the lockdown would last this long.
Well, then, you know, Damon, just give your head over to her and prove it to her. Because in any case, what's the worst that can happen? You'll just shave everything off if she really botches things up.
Have you ever had a homemade haircut, Sia?
I'm actually considering it.
Oh, it's traumatic. It's terrible, man. Because the hair goes all over the place. The hair, it's so uncomfortable. Honestly, there's a reason why barbers and hairdressers exist.
Damon, isn't the rule happy wife, happy life?
Well, that's the thing. That's the equation, and you've got to get you got to deal with that equation in a very delicate, careful manner. And sometimes you have to draw the line and take a chance that you're going to shake up that equation and ruin that equation. And that's the trick. That's the trick. So good point. Thank you for reminding me.
All right. Here's a message from Fatima. She says, the dual personalities that you just described, Gareth, this is obviously a little earlier, people are more than 90% one or the other. People have not shown a middle ground approach during this time, and I'm 100% sure on the thinking of the split that you discussed. So we spoke about the different kinds of people during lockdown, and you can listen to that if you missed it on the podcast.
But that just shows you how unhealthy society is. It's not healthy to be so dogmatic either way. You should be oscillating between the two, and you should be open to changing your mind and thinking of alternative viewpoints.
Stop telling Fatima what to do, all right, Damon?
Well, Fatima, sorry, Fatima.
What?
Temba says, good morning. I really enjoyed the webinar yesterday, and I shared it with my FNB PR team. Good stuff, Temba, because we all need to have some idea of what the world of marketing and advertising will look like going forward. And then, Sia, who was on after 8 a.m. on Friday last week? Oh, yeah. Sia, can you check?
Oh, no, to whip out the calendar for this one.
Yeah, because this person wants to know who that was. It's Christine.
Okay, we'll find out and we can answer in the second hour.
All right, very good. Do you want to hear a voice note? This is from Jean. Jean wants to talk.
Those are always tricky, Gareth.
Here's a voice note from Jean.
Hi, Gareth. I travel between provinces at least 2 times a week, and I have been for the last 4 or 5 weeks because I'd work for the mines. And there's a lot of roadblocks happening on all the borders, basically, between like Gauteng and North West and Gauteng and Mpumalanga and so forth and so forth. Every time they pull you over, they have to make sure that you've got all the paperwork and everything with you. Sometimes you're driving in a branded vehicle like I am. I've got a big company branding next to it, and it's a H100 Bucky, so they just let you pass sometimes. But most of the times, if you're a normal car, they pull you over, ask you for all your permits and paperwork that has to be up to date. I almost got in big trouble Monday because my permit was one day out. You know, I was supposed to be updated on Friday, and when they checked me on Monday, it wasn't the right one, and they gave me endless amounts of shit for that, but eventually I got loose. So they are definitely enforcing it.
Okay, so Jean's basically saying that they are enforcing this interprovincial travel thing. And if you are traveling for work, you need to have your papers up to date because they are actually checking them. That's interesting.
What kind of papers?
Well, you need a certificate to show that your company is a level whatever it might be.
How do you get a certificate?
CIPSA, the same people who issue your company forms, yeah.
Yeah, but not all companies are registered companies. My little business is not registered, so...
Well, then you can't travel between provinces, sorry.
No, well, I can't even travel to go fetch raw materials. I have to leopard crawl. I have to, like, I have to like driving secrets, hide behind the steering wheel.
Yeah.
To go and get what? Your Langoliers.
Like oils and
Damon,
stuff.
This is why, this is why I'm saying you must just lie. Just say you're taking oxygen to your mother.
You got to think on your feet, man. If you get stopped on like a busy road, like in Johannesburg, there's a big road called Modderfontein Road.
Yeah.
If I get stopped there and they start asking me questions, where do you live? Where are you going? You got to think on your feet, man. You got to come up with an address that doesn't exist. You got to come up with a shop that you're going to shop to that you're not really going to shop to. And you got to look convincing. And I'm not good at that, man. And the pressure of all of that. Sure. So I was using a courier for a while and then I realized it's expensive. So I've been driving very covertly.
Yeah, okay. Damon, here's a criticism for you from Guy. Guy says,
interrupting too much, talking too loud. I know.
Sorry. He says, Damon, it's people like you who kowtow to your wife about your looks, hairstyle, etc., that make other wives feel empowered to take charge. Grow a pair of testicles and stop making it hard for the other men.
What's that guy? Who's that again?
Guy.
Start a party. I'm voting.
Divorced and single and a loner guy. Okay.
According to this message anyway, he's married. He says
I spoke to his wife. His wife is miserable.
He says your militant wife, Bernice, is making other wives brave enough to start laying down the law to their husbands.
Oh, well, good luck
to
you.
I'm sure it's tongue-in-cheek.
No, I think he means it. And I know Bernice, so I think he knows. He knows what he's talking about. All right. Yeah.
So. No, I'll shave my head. I'll shave my head in secret. Simple as that. That's what it's come down to.
Yeah, but then you're going to have a fight anyway, aren't you?
Yeah.
No. She'll just be mildly disappointed.
Okay.
We have bigger fish to fry. Trust me. She'll be disappointed. Why didn't you let me cut your hair? But then it'll be over pretty. So believe me, I've done far worse things, so it's fine.
Yeah, you know what? You're the best to know in this situation.
Exactly. I'm experienced.
If we're going to allow religious gatherings, surely we can allow haircut.
No. Let's be fair now. When your hairdresser's on top of you, man, and you can't wear a mask while you're having your hair cut because they're dealing with your head. So that actually kind of makes sense.
Why don't we let all the hairdressers who are prepared to be infected with COVID and all the people who want to have their haircuts who are prepared to be infected with COVID meet at a certain salon to have their haircut?
No.
And you enter at your own risk?
No, you start with that and then where does it all end? Then you make rules for restaurants and various. No, you can't do that because if you pick up the right. COVID-19 at your hairdresser, you're then going to go spread it somewhere else. So no, Gareth, it shows you thinking, but no, and it's not, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that's a good idea.
What if you're prepared to get yourself infected now and just get on with your life?
Because then your life may have ended. You might die. That's the thing.
Yeah, but that's your decision. I mean, I could commit suicide tomorrow. There's nothing you can do about that.
Well, you know what? You're not going to commit suicide.
How do you know?
Because people who commit suicide who actually do it don't actually say anything. They just do it.
That might be the first time that anyone's asked me. So, again,
generally speaking, suicidal people don't get asked.
That's exactly the point. So no one's asked before.
If you went to Bishops, nobody ever asked you, did you go to Bishops? But you tell everybody you went to Bishops.
it's like
the same principle.
It's like if you're a member of Mensa, yeah. People can't wait to come to each other, yeah.
Or CrossFit.
Or CrossFit, that's a big one.
Why did you have to take it there?
Come on.
All right.
Same thing.
We've got a few things to talk about this morning. Where are all the toilet paper stockpilers now? That's a very good question. And how are they doing? Are they still on their reserves from back in March when they stockpiled? Do you remember when the toilet paper stockpiling was a thing?
I mean,
my theory is that those people are still stockpiling because in their minds, there has to be a certain amount of toilet paper in where they live. So they are still stockpiling. So because they need a certain amount of toilet paper.
So they're just keeping up their reserves.
They're keeping up their reserves. It's as simple as that.
Okay. Well, I'd be curious because I don't actually know how that works.
I think they're hanging their heads in shame.
No, I don't think, no, not at all.
I've never been a stockpiler, so it's very hard for me to figure this out.
What have I ever stockpiled? Let me think. What have I stockpiled? No, I don't think I've ever stockpiled. Oh, milk. I stockpile milk. There's the biggest fear of not having milk. I don't know why.
Why? Do you stockpile the long life stuff?
No, the long life is a backup. So I'll have like about...
So you stockpile fresh milk, but you can't possibly go through all of it, and then it goes sour and you've wasted money.
Well, that's the thing. Stockpiling is a very relative term. So, you know those 2 liter bottles of milk?
Yeah.
I'll buy four at a time. Is that stockpiling?
Jesus, that is stockpiling. How much milk do you go through in a week? Who's using
so? You know,
who's using all this milk?
I kid you not. I'm not exaggerating. I think Bernice has about a dozen cups of tea during the day.
But how much milk is she adding to her tea? I mean, it's
well. We've also gone into pancake mode. We've been eating pancakes like almost every morning.
Okay.
So hence we put on a lot extra weight.
Oh, yeah.
And pancake uses a lot of milk. I've been making a lot of French toast.
That's nice.
It's all comfort eating. It's insane. I bet it's terrible. So there's been a lot of milk consumption.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Maybe you do make your way through four bottles. What, in a week?
I reckon four bottles.
What do you reckon, Damon?
Four bottles last about 5 days or 5.5 yikes. Days.
Whoa.
So you might as well have a cow in your back garden.
What I tend to do as well, I'm a bit embarrassed to admit, but I will go to the fridge and I will drink out of the 2 liter bottle.
No,
yeah,
no,
I will
no,
do that
no,
as
no.
well.
You're a monster.
Why?
You're a monster.
I don't know. I think it's an illness, man.
Okay, put the drinking straight from the carton aside.
Oh.
You just get to different points in your day where you are so parched that you can only drink milk.
No, I like to do it in the morning. You know when you wake up in the morning, you got that morning breath.
Oh,
and the thing is, you want to have breakfast, but you don't want to brush your teeth because you're just about to have breakfast. So what you do is you take a slug of some milk and you zhuzh it in your mouth, and that makes your mouth feel good. You don't have that morning breath anymore, but you haven't brushed your teeth yet.
And now your whole family has gingivitis.
No. I'm a very considerate bottle drinker. I do it in such a way that my lips like just barely touch the bottle, and I do it very nicely.
Oh yeah, that sounds exactly like government's plans to keep coronavirus under control.
Well, we're an enclosed family. We don't leave the house generally speaking.
Unbelievable.
If I were your wife or daughter, goodness. And I was pouring myself a cup of tea, and it had to. First, before I poured the milk into my cup, it had to pass over your saliva from that
morning. No, I've seen Bernice do it as well, actually.
And when people put saliva on the milk, it means they're also sharing saliva. They're passing the saliva from one to another.
Yeah.
How did we get to this point?
By uncivilized Damon Calvari. All right. When we come back, we've got lots of other good stuff for you this morning. It's a busy day. It's always crazy and busy. And this morning is no different. We're going to be joined by Mark Mdluli, who is, of course, the former host of The Worst Guys on CliffCentral.com. He's also a comedian and a performing artist. We're going to find out about what he's up to now and speak to him about how he's changed direction during lockdown, which a lot of people have. We'll find out what he's up to. That's coming up in the next hour, as well as all the news and some comments from you, some feedback. You can get hold of us on 0797482090. Do it today, and let's hear from you this morning, shall we? Okay, good. Excellent. I'm glad we're all agreed. That's fantastic news. Let's get on with it. CliffCentral.com